Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reppin'. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A, I'm coming in.
I do the most, coming,
hot. What's up, Kim? What's up, how you doing?
All
right. Give me off some shots.
What's up, Point Blankers? Woo! That's how I know you're ready. That's how I know you're ready to talk some mess. You came out busting a gun, one gun.
One shot.
That's all it takes. You don't care about nothing else. One shot, that's it. What's going on?
It's just same old, different day.
Yeah, right? I know. Doesn't it feel, it is. We're about to hit March next Monday or something like that, right? We are
March?
Past the middle of the year. Not March. I'm
did
sorry.
You say March?
I'm sorry. I did say March. See,
August?
Not March. I said March. Well, there you go. I said March with a lot of confidence, too, didn't I? I said March with so
you
much
did.
Confidence. I said March with a lot of confidence. Hey, Kia, guess what?
What?
You are actually on the line, your co-host, your friend, your partner right here, Dwayne of Zach Tactical. I think I might be an international YouTube with my Zach Tactical, typically whopping like 40 subscribers. Thank you. And I'm on TikTok, and one of my videos got like 5,000 views. And I feel like I'm an international sensation. So yeah, yep. I was gonna talk.
So y'all need to go ahead and go out and tell everybody how they can follow your channel.
Oh, go to Zach Tactical, ZAC Tactical. Y'all should know how to spell tactical. I'm not spelling it for y'all, but ZAC Tactical on YouTube, ZAC _ Tactical on TikTok. And ZAC _ Tactical on Instagram. And then, of course, Zach Tactical on Facebook. But I'm a celebrity. Like, I'm like straight up a celebrity. I feel like I've made it big. So, yeah. Yep.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You do make some really good videos. You make some really good videos.
Thank you. I'll be feeling like I'm my own Singleton, that's the director from back in the day that did all like the black videos. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what you been up to?
Okay,
Kim?
Little Spike Lee.
Right?
Little Spike Lee.
Right? You know what? I know this isn't good, but I'm not the biggest Spike Lee fan.
Oh, really?
I know the black community. And the governor's going to be like, how the hell are you not a Spike Lee fan? But it's because I hate that camera angle that he's known for. That camera angle that it always look like the person, it's in front of the person and they always look like they're gliding. I hate.
Yeah.
Hate that camera angle. Can't stand it. Hate it.
What?
I know. Hate such a strong. I know. I know. But let me not dig myself into a digger hole with our community here, because I know we probably got a lot of Spike Lee fans. So yeah, nah, I'm not gonna hurt myself with that. But heck yeah. So how was your week? How's your week been?
It's been busy. We did get a chance to hang out with E3 Personal Defense on Saturday. We did an intense defensive training. Oh my gosh.
Nice.
When she rolls this out, it's going to be awesome. She's also going to do a trainer's boot camp. It's really going to be cool. We were in the dirt, man. We got dirty.
So y'all, you telling me that you didn't just do the good old regular point and shoot junk, huh? Like point straight,
oh,
shoot
no
straight.
Sir.
You actually got down and dirty and got in the mud and everything.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, we were laying. We had to lay down on the ground and shoot. We had to get on our knees and shoot. We were moving and shooting. We were running and shooting. We were doing all kinds of stuff. So it was very intense, but it was really good. Really, really good. Really, really good. So shout out to E3 Personal Defense with Miss Joy Allen. It was just awesome. It was an awesome day.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's dope. I got some other good news too. I didn't want to blast this on social media because I didn't want to get cut by any of the ladies. But I got my care package from Inner Peace. I got my sticker. I was so excited. You don't understand how excited I was. I wanted to run around the house with it on, but I didn't because I got to do y'all right. But I want to say thank you, Inner Peace. You know, thank you to Inner Peace and the ladies of Inner Peace for allowing me to be a unofficial member. I was about to say an official member and talk some more trash, but I don't want to do that. For those of our listeners that don't know anything about Inner Peace, number one, shame on you. You should know everything about Inner Peace. And number two, shame on you again, because all we do is talk about Inner Peace. Inner Peace did awesome, awesome, awesome. I don't want to call it a women's gun group because I feel like it's so much more than just a gun group. Huh, Kia?
Well, we're a shooting club. We're a sisterhood. You know, we're definitely a sisterhood, a family. So, you know, go out and check out the website, innerpeace.com, and that's innerpeace.com. Check out the website. If you're on Facebook, check out the Facebook group. Also on Instagram, Inner Peace, and you'll notice, you'll see it because you'll see the lady with the yellow lady with the afro and the gun pointed, so you know
yes.
You're in the right place. So check it out and see some of the wonderful things we have going on in this area for the ladies, and it's just awesome. I bragged on Miss Joy the other day in a group because it's like she's just so awesome when it comes to creating a space for women in this industry, and I'm just, you know, happy to be a part of it. So I'm really proud that I know her.
Man.
So definitely check out Inner Peace.
That's huge. That's huge. And like I said, I didn't want to blast it out on social media because I wanted to make sure I did it some justice and got y'all's approval, number one. Elliot said he didn't care. He put it out there. And I saw Elliot. You know,
yeah,
you
he put
Elliot,
his out there.
He did. I'm a much smaller guy than Elliot. So y'all can beat me up. And I don't want no problems with y'all. Okay? So now I want to make sure I get your blessing that I can show it off with pride. Can I show it off with pride?
Well, as far as I know, she sent it to you, so show it off.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Now, y'all, just tell me extra large. I'm not an extra large, okay? I am a medium, but I'm still going to rock
thought
it
she
either
said,
way.
Is that the, maybe she didn't have any medium, so she's probably said she's the best size
nah.
She could.
That's okay. That's okay. I don't mind. I'm still going to show it off very proudly with pride. So once again, I appreciate y'all for allowing me to be a member of this awesome, awesome sisterhood. And I think that's the best word to use for it. It's definitely a sisterhood because when you look on the website and look on the page and all the social media, it's way more than just a gun club, man. It's definitely a sisterhood. So I'll say give Inner Peace a one shot. Give Inner Peace a one shot. And
that was an AR-15 shot.
There you go. So, what are we getting into today? What are we getting into today?
What are we talking about?
It's a lot of stuff to get into. It's a lot of stuff to get into today. I know you had mentioned earlier about the gun buyback program. Something we should probably start off with that one.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it has started, and I feel it's always been around. It has started. They are finding ways to come for a gun. I sound country when I said it like that, right? They're finding ways to come and take our firearms from us by enticing us with different gifts and money and stuff like that. So I don't remember exactly what city and state it was in. I know it was here in Virginia. I'm looking at the city right now, so because I don't want to lie on another city. But, folks, they have started gun buyback programs. What do you think of that so far, Kia? Do you like it, hate it, kind of get it, don't want to get it? What do you think?
I kind of get it if it's used for what it's supposed to be used for. But unfortunately, let's be realistic, criminals aren't going to go turn their guns in. $200.
That
right?
is so true.
So, I mean, you're not offering a million, right? You're offering, what, $100 or so? So, to me, it's like, on the outside, it looks really, really good. I know Chicago did it, and they said they confiscated, like, what, 226 guns off the streets. I guarantee they probably didn't work once they get out there and try to fire them. But they probably don't work. They probably gave it to someone else to go and turn in. I just don't think that now that's an old remedy to an old problem, right? So it's not really going to do much good in the community, in my opinion. And you know, people love to say, oh my gosh, this is so great. They confiscated 113 illegal guns so far this year.
Yeah, I saw that. Chicago. But
I just don't think that it's going to be everything that they think it's going to be. I just don't feel that that criminals are actually turning in their firearms. I just don't. And so with that being said, you know, it looks good on the outside. I'm sure to the average person, like, why are you guys bashing gun buyback program? No one's bashing it. But if you look at it realistically, I would love to see how many of those guns actually work. And I would love to know how many, after they do the gun buyback program, there's still violence going on.
Yeah, because I think you hit it on the head when you said that the bad guys, criminals, aren't going to be like, hey, this gun that I just shot up this bus with, let me go turn this in. They're buying back guns from you and me, you know, the everyday Joe, you know, and there's a lot of funding. Where's the funding coming from, number one? That's what I want to know. Where's all of this funding coming from so quickly to buy back legally owned guns? And I believe that it also said that they're not going to take the guns if they're illegal. How did it, I mean, legally or, yeah, illegal. They're illegal firearms. They're not going to take them back. But how do they know what's an illegal firearm? Especially here in
the
state of Virginia.
Chicago specifically said they were illegal guns. So I don't know where they're.
Yeah, so the Chicago one, yeah.
But the one in Virginia is not?
No, the one in Virginia is just, you just come and you turn in your gun. And I'm pulling it up right now because I would definitely love to get more, you know, make sure that the information that we're given is definitely accurate. But so far, I'm with you. I would love to see the numbers on that. You know, I don't think it's going to do anything. You know, you're taking guns away from people that may need them at some point to protect themselves from the people that probably stole them. You know, the bad guys aren't going to turn in their guns all happily and stuff like that. And, you know, putting together a big buyback program focusing on the everyday citizen or the everyday citizen, I just don't get it. I don't see it working at all. I don't see it because now you're going to take an armed community
and for the illegal,
and make it become an unarmed community.
Right, and for the illegal guns that were confiscated, are they going to look in the system and see if these guns are stolen guns that someone has filed a claim for and returned them?
Yeah, Exactly. Don't know. There's so much holes, you know, and there's a lot. And so here it is. It says, take a semi-automatic pistol. You get $250 grocery gift card. Grocery gift card. Take a handgun, rifle, or shotgun for a $100 gift card from Kroger Food Line. So the program is funded by a $65,000 grant. So again, I get in on the surface intentions.
No.
But what is it really about, right? I get it from first glance. What is it really about? That's my question. And it's also who's funding it. You know who's funding it? It's the NAACP.
Oh,
you know, and the slogan is groceries, not guns. So, again, right? Groceries, not guns. So, guys, groceries, not guns. Instead of buying a firearm to protect you and your family, trade it in, get a $250 gift card for a semi-automatic pistol, which the verbiage don't match because it says turn a semi-automatic pistol, get $250, but trade in a handgun, get $100. I don't understand that. But, again, we have people that they know guns very, very well, right? These folks know guns in and out. They know the difference because me and you and everybody in the gun world don't know the difference between a semi-automatic pistol and a handgun. I feel like I'm the ATF spoof cartoon on YouTube right now. But yeah, that's
right.
Pretty much it. It doesn't give a lot of detail on it. Listeners, give us a call. Call in. Let us know what y'all think of the gun buyback program, y'all. We would definitely love to know what y'all think. Number 845-241-9979, 845-241-9979. Let us know. Do you like it?
We have a
call.
We have a caller. Hold on one second, Dwayne.
Go for it.
Let's see our caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to Point Blank Radio.
You know, I really appreciate you guys trying to be so charitable to these idiotic, moronic gun buyback programs.
Hey, bro. We missed you, man.
Look, I'm sorry I've been away. I've been in Texas. I had a colleague who has a farm in the Del Rio area in McAllen County, Texas. He wanted my help down there because the illegal alien problem, the coyotes are so bad he had to ask me to come down and help him again. I owe him a lot, to include my life, and I like the guys. I went back down to help him again. Believe me, you have no idea how bad it is. You have no idea as to how it is god-awful worse than even reporting it on the news. It is beyond belief. This administration ought to be run out of town on a rail and tarred and feathered just for that alone. Disgrace.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard about it, but you never hear about it on the news, you know?
No, they don't want the American people to know how bad it is. They are literally enabling a human rights violation on the border. But anyway, I know you're talking about the gun buyback program, and I've witnessed many in my time working in Chicago and Cook County. I would go there and talk to Chicago coppers who would be, you know, there to provide security and help oversee the gimmick, and they'd just be cracking jokes because they know what a big sham and foolishness it was. It's just idiotic. It's just moronic. You know what the star of the show was? They would give him just, I think it was like $150, $175 gift card. A guy had made a 12-gauge shotgun, operable to be sure, out of pipe and some wood, and you could slam fire it. He had a breech, operating breech.
Wow.
If you slammed it quickly enough, it would fire the shotgun shell. He rigged up a little wooden-like stock like affair for it. He turned it in and got a $150 gift card. He said, oh, now I'm going to go buy me a real gun.
Right.
Other people there. There was another guy there. They turned in one person turned in a Charter Arms AR-7 gun. Now, I don't know if you know what an AR-7 is, but it's a survival rifle. Shoots 22 caliber long rifle. And a stripped barrel nut. You couldn't really lock the barrel tightly onto the receiver. The way it's designed to be made, you unscrew the barrel nut. It's got a couple of openings in the stock. You can put the barrel in the back there when the stock's still connected to the receiver. It becomes very short. and pilot can easily carry it in the plane, and it has something to go get small game with or whatever. It was made by Armalite, and they put it down as they got an assault rifle. It's semi-automatic, yeah. Got a 10-round magazine, 22-long rifle, made by Armalite. It's an AR-7, and the Chicago bragging they had taken an assault rifle off the street. And a strip barrel nut. The thing didn't work right anyway. They took that
yeah,
pay
yeah, for
$200 for that. Then it was a couple. I remember one rifle was a Marlin 336, I think, had a broken receiver or a damaged receiver, a Winchester 94, the lever didn't work properly, a military 03, A3 with a cracked barrel. I mean, it was just ridiculous. A lot of these guns are turned in by widows whose old man has died, and they find the gun up in the house, and, you know, they don't want the gun around, so they go and turn it in. They're not going to do any crimes with it. Some of them, on very rare occasions, find something as rare as, say, a Sturmgewehr 44 German assault rifle in World War II, which ought to be a museum piece. You know, I mean, the things are valuable. They're historical items. They're the first true assault rifle ever made. The Germans were the first military to field a true assault rifle, and from World War II. And this woman had it because her husband died, and he was GI in World War II, and he bought it back from the ETO. And he had it up in the attic. And when he died, she was going through things and actually found this Sturmgewehr 44. The thing belongs in a museum. Eventually, I believe.
And she sold it
$150. Well, look, because it hadn't been put in a National Firearms Act registry, it couldn't be put in there. So they're going to destroy it. A valuable piece of history that should be in a museum, they were going to destroy it. Eventually, they were able to wave something or do something, and they got the thing sent though to some museum somewhere, and they put where it belongs so people can see a piece of history. But, you know, this is the kind of thing the gun buyback program gets. It's moronic. It's beyond belief stupid. I mean, but, you know, these virtue-signaling dumb politicians get to say they're doing something. We're doing something about gun violence. Tell me something. If a rape occurs, is that penis violence?
No. Hey, mess around here.
I'd like to know, seriously, because I would think that the same sort of logic would prevail in rape. You shouldn't call it rape when a criminal rapes his victim. You should call it penis violence.
Based on what they're saying, pretty much, you're right.
I mean, gun violence is one of the more ridiculous problems, the descriptions I heard or anything. That ranks right up there with toxic masculinity. Masculinity cannot be toxic. It is simply a state of being masculine. Any more than you can be toxically feminine. It's simply a state of being feminine. This toxic behavior, whether you're a man or a woman. But masculinity nor femininity is inherently toxic. It's impossible for it to be. It's simply a state of masculinity or femininity. See, these people, we're getting all this idiotic Orwellian use of language, got gun buyback, buying back an item they never possessed in the first place, but they're going to buy it back. Well, I think it makes sense because leftists think all property is essentially the state's anyway. You don't really own anything. You only own it via the largesse of the state, and if they decide you're allowed to keep it, they'll let it go. But if they think it's causing a problem in places where they create the conditions to make the problem, then they'll say, we're going to buy it back from you. Okay, I'll sell my rifles. I will let them buy back my AR-15s. But I tell you what, my asking price is $1,500,000, and that's today. Every week it's going to go up another $250,000. And if you don't give it to me, I ain't selling. Otherwise, it's confiscation.
Yeah, you're right. Come on, Star. Yeah. Go ahead and tell the truth.
Oh, I got
you.
I mean, it's so silly.
I see
these things. And you ought to hear the cops. The cops just crack all kind of jokes. They think it's so stupid, but they got orders, and they got to be there, you know. And I went there. Even though I was an Illinois State policeman, I would go over there just to hang out with some of my friends on the Chicago Police Department and just see what was going on. And it was just so stupid. And the idiot politicians that get up there and pat themselves on the back and, oh, they're doing so much for the community. We got 220 guns. 220 or something like that. And there's like 400 million firearms in private hands in the United States. In Chicago, it's probably somewhere on the order of 2 to 3 to 4 million, most of which, of course, are not owned by criminals. But the criminals own several hundred thousand of them, or at least 10 or 20,000 of them.
Right.
But even most of them
right.
aren't used to shoot anybody. But, I mean, it's really
so
silly. I mean, it's really
silly. I'm glad that you decided to tell – I'm glad you decided to tell the real story, because the whole thing is, like I said to Dwayne earlier, you know, I understand, okay, the sentiment behind it looks really nice to the person who is afraid of guns and scared of violence and all this stuff. But in the reality of it, like I was telling Dwayne, I would like to know how many of these guns, number one, actually work. And number two, Do you really believe that criminals are coming in and turning in their guns and saying, oh, let me get a $175 food card?
Oh, I think they'll do it if
No, they're not.
I think they'll do it if it's broken. Maybe there's no question asked. What if it's a gun that was used in a criminal offense? No questions asked. You turn it in. They don't keep your name or keep track of you. The evidence that could get you implicated in a crime, you give them back to the cops, and they've essentially given you a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Exactly.
Think about that for a minute.
Exactly.
No questions asked. You know,
That's crazy.
I was really, really feeling bad, though. I watched one time. One woman turned in a almost mint condition artillery Luger from World War One with a 32-round snail drum magazine, almost mint condition. It wasn't a National Firearms Act piece, because even though it had a inlet for a stock, you could attach stock to it and make a really nice carbine out of it. Because of its age, it was in the curio stage, and it wouldn't be considered a short barrel rifle. So it was almost in mint condition, and they were going to destroy this gun. I mean, a mint grade World War One artillery Luger. I mean, I said this is a damn shit. That's almost criminal. Criminals ain't using guns like that.
And so, Sarge, what do they do with the guns when they confiscate them? Where do they go?
They make a big show out of putting them in a smelter and melting them down, or tossing them in Lake Michigan. I think now they melt them down. And they get a lot of the news media around. You look at all these busted up, broke down shotguns and messed up Saturday Night Specials. They ain't worth a damn. Some Rome 22, you know, that German import 22 made out of pot metal. They'll get a whole bunch of them and some really ancient 38 Smith & Wesson 30 special revolvers, you know. They have all this stuff up there, some single-shot bolt-action 22s. Most of them are in really lousy condition. And they'll get them all up in a big pile, and they'll be squirreling, they'll be patting themselves all on the back. See, we're making you safer, you know, blah, 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 and they melt them. It's just a waste of taxpayers' money. It really is. I wouldn't even object to it all that much if they did it with private funds, so people waste their own damn money instead of taxpayers. Honestly, I wouldn't put it bother me, because if people are getting rid of firearms and for whatever reason they want to get rid of them and they can make a little money, fine. It's your property. If you're doing it voluntarily, fine. But when they're going to make you do this with taxpayer money, oh, for God's sake. I rarely do I just say, activities of government are just utterly moronic, idiotic, misguided, and absolutely fruitless. Gun buybacks have got to be near the top of the list.
Well, I'm there with you. I'm there with you, Sarge. Trust me. I'm there with you.
I mean, it really is comic. And then here are these policies like this list. I don't know what this creature is that's running Chicago, this Lori Lightfoot. I'm just glad I wasn't a cop when she became elected. I'm glad I had quit and gone by then. I couldn't be working in Chicago area with that woman as mayor. And that other moron, the state's attorney, Kim Fox, two birds of a feather flocking together, ruining Chicago and Cook County. And, but she is a perfect example of this sort of mentality. I don't know where the people of Chicago got the wherewithal to put those two people in office.
Sarge, you'll get us shut down. The Chicago may be listening to us right now.
You bring on anybody from Chicago, and let me talk to them and see if they agree with me. If they don't agree with me, I will tell them why they should. Great city.
Sorry,
one of the greatest
hilarious
cities in the country. They've absolutely ruined it. And things like, and these gun buyback programs are just surface manifestations of why they've gone downhill so badly.
Well, hold on, Sarge. We have another caller. Let's see what's going on here. Hold on. Hello? Thank you for calling Flashbang
calling
Radio.
Calling
is this Elliot?
You know it is. What's good?
Hey!
Elliot!
So
Elliot, we talk about the gun buyback program.
What do you think about it? It's a foolishness. I mean, like Star said, when I got on, I heard him make a statement of, you know what I'm saying, putting people in a position that if they're committing crimes with no questions asked, they, you know what I'm saying, then go ahead and give the gun back. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, that's a get-out-of-jail-free card. So, you know, just asking for more problems, in my honest opinion. Like why would you do that? I none of it makes sense to me, but you know, to be honest with you, a lot of things that our, you know, our local law enforcement or government does really just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I totally agree that that's just foolishness. And, you know what I'm saying, you're using taxpayers' money to do it? Like, that's crazy.
No, they say it came from a grant. They say it came from a grant. I'm using air quotes, y'all.
Yeah, it's just a grant. It's definitely a grant.
Right.
Yeah, air quotes. $65,000 grant.
Right.
You're
going to
get
a Kroger
and or Food Lion gift card when you turn it in. $250, I think it's $250 I saw for, all right, let me read it again because I want to see if this stands out to you, to either one of y'all, because it definitely stood out to me and Kia. So $250, right, for a semi-automatic pistol, right? And then $100 for a handgun.
What?
That's the same thing.
Exactly. $100 for a handgun, rifle, or shotgun. But $250 for a semi-automatic pistol. So, yeah. That's it right there.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, see what I'm saying? Ignorance.
Yeah.
That's just ignorance.
You know?
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what the difference, you know. I didn't know that there was a difference when it came down to pistol. But this just lets you all know that the ones making these rules or laws or trying to put this stuff together, again, this could have been a group of moms or dads or whatever. Are they coming from a good space? I don't know. I just feel that it's coming from there's a hidden agenda because the NAACP is the one that's leading it.
What?
Did I say that right? NAACP, right? Yes, yeah, NAACP that's leading it. So –
We won't get started on that part.
Yeah.
We won't get started on that. Let's just not.
And it's in Roanoke. And it's happening in a place called Star City, Roanoke. So, again, it's just the beginning, you know.
Slam fire shotguns that I told you about earlier, they cost about $10 to $12 worth of material at the hardware store to make. You got scrap lumber laying around. It looks like it's what they made the stock from. And probably didn't even pay anything for the lumber to make the stock. It was literally like pipe you get from the hardware store and a couple nails, sturdy nails for firing pins.
Wow.
It was ingenious. It would fire a shotgun shell. I don't know how many you could put through it before it might become dangerous, but it would work.
Wow.
But wasn't that like a few months ago, one of the states, I want to say D.C., was talking about, you know what I'm saying, they were giving you, they would give you marijuana for your handgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it wasn't for your handgun. It was for your
yeah, I remember that.
It was for COVID.
For the COVID
it was to get your vaccine.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I'll give you this weed for your handgun.
Yeah, right? That's an easy spot. Come on. What a setup.
That's what I thought. I remember I was like, but there was another one somebody was given. You turn in your gun, they give you something for it. And I was like, what?
That was West Virginia. If you got the COVID shot in West Virginia, they gave you a gun. D.C., if
they
you got
gave
the COVID
you a
shot, they gave you a gun, yeah. In West Virginia, if you got, I'm calling it a COVID shot, the vaccine or the COVID shot. I like the COVID shot better. If you got the COVID shot in D.C., you got a pretty much a bag of weed. And if you got the COVID shot in West Virginia, you got a gun. And then Roanoke is saying, bring it here. We'll take it from you.
Oh, another thing. I do remember another incident with a gun buyback, kind of similar to one I tell you about, the Sturmgewehr 44. It was in Wisconsin, and some woman turned in a operable Maxim machine gun, German Maxim machine gun, World War One. It turned out it was probably one of the Maxim guns that was involved in the Sergeant York incident where he won the Medal of Honor. And, again, they had the same kind of troubles with, you know, they couldn't register because of the National Firearms Act. Nobody could purchase it, buy it, and they had a big fight over it, and eventually, again, they got it sent to a museum because it was of historical significance.
Yes.
You know, part of New York being the most famous soldier from World War One, with one of the most unbelievable exploits, and here's one of the guns that was probably involved in that incident, in that battle. You know, took out like 19 machine guns, and this is one of them that he took out by picking off the gun crews with his accurate shooting from his rifle.
That is crazy. You know, I took a picture when I took my family to Tennessee. Matter of fact, Sarge, I just got off the phone with you after I took this picture. You know, and there was a Maxim machine gun sitting right in the middle of this gun store, and I couldn't believe it. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, this one was not just a Maxim machine gun, which, of course, is valuable in and of itself, but one actually connected to a major historical incident. Probably the greatest hero of the First World War, at least certainly the most well-known, you know, Sergeant York. At least for an enlisted man, anyway.
Right.
He's the one they made, Gary Cooper made that movie about. You know, Sergeant York, who was Academy Award winner, major box office hit. Well, you know, I don't know how many Academy Awards he got, but he got him the Academy Award, Best Picture, Best Actor, and won a whole bunch of money. I mean, he was really a big name at one time. And here's a gun connected with it, and they're thinking about destroying it instead of putting it in a museum.
There's an article in USA on USA Today earlier this part of this year, and it says that researchers that have actually done research on these buyback programs, and they, you know, and also, you know, they've cross-referenced gun control and these strategies that they put together, and they said even though gun buyback programs are very popular, they're among the least effective ways to reduce gun violence. They target, and it doesn't do anything for intervention for crime because nobody is turning in guns that they're committing crimes with. Like you said, they're older guns. No one's out there committing robbing a liquor store with a gun with a wooden lumber handle with a pipe. It's like you have to slam down hard to make it fire. Nobody is. I mean, it's like those are not the guns that they're getting. They're not curbing any violence whatsoever. But I guess it's a way. I guess it's a visual for the community to make them think that they're doing something to curb the violence. But if anybody would just take a second to look, just look 2 weeks after the gun buyback program and see how if the violence has subsided or lessened in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and you'll see that the gun buyback programs are not as effective as they make it seem.
About 12 years ago, I remember a gun buyback program in it might have been Philadelphia, it might have been New, I forget exactly where it was, but the organizer of the buyback didn't know that much about guns, apparently. which is probably almost always the case. And the definition of assault weapons they had was pretty fuzzy. Now, a guy turned in a beat-up SKS carbine with folding bayonet attached. You know, SKS, you know, about a dozen years ago, they were pretty cheap. You know, they're very good infantry rifles. They fire the same cartridge as the AK-47, but, you know, they're 10-shot semi-automatic. Anyway, the organizers were given extra money for assault weapons. And they looked at this and said, oh, this is assault weapons. He's got a bayonet attached because, you know, they had the bayonet is permanently affixed, of course, unless you unscrew it from the SKS, at least in the military version of it. And they gave him a $500 gift card for no questions asked. Now, at that time, you could buy Chinese-made military surplus SKS carbines at the local gun store for about $105. So once the word this got out, people were going to those gun shops, buying SKSs, and taking them directly to the gun buyback program, making a nice profit.
Right.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yep.
$105 so, turning an object for $500 and get $500. And they're patting themselves
right.
on the
back. Right. Right.
These people are so silly. You put me at a loss of words. You put me at a loss of words. That's a loss of words.
So what I'm hearing, Sarge, absolutely. Is for those of y'all out there that want to make some money, go get you a cheap gun and turn it in and make a profit. That's what I'm hearing.
These programs vary locale to locale, but yeah, in many cases you can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
You can't point blank do not endorse that comic made by Bob Stevens.
We're gonna have to start reading the disclaimer. All I could think about the whole time was go buy like four High Points.
Right.
Oh God!
And sign for $89.
Yes,
for $89.
And I would say we're doing the community a favor at that point by buying them High Points. I think one of y'all sent. I think it was E. Sent me one. It was one of y'all that sent me the list of High Points for $99. You know, it's pretty tempting to buy one. If I didn't have to answer to my wife,
hey, look,
I was going to buy one.
Are you guys talking about a High Point pistol?
Yes.
Oh, man, I saw one of them had a slide that was busted in half.
That's how it comes. That's standard.
I'm looking where it cracked, and it looked like there were literally air holes in the metal, like pot metal or something.
That crack is standard. That crack is standard. It comes with the crack. But
I thought they'd put a big heavy slide on it, so to overcome the problems maybe with metallurgy and with lockup and fit, and that way they have to worry about a delaying mechanism to allow the pressure to drop, just relying strictly on blowback until the chamber pressure drops enough for the slide to open. But if you make it out of lousy material, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's too intelligent for that company. It's okay. Too intelligent.
But it doesn't have any kind of locking mechanism, from what I understand. It strictly relies on the weight and bulk of the slide to delay the opening of the slide until the chamber pressure drops after the round is fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a
blowback submachine gun, like the M3 grease gun, which, by the way, is made out of higher quality bolt steel.
Yeah. High Points are definitely not.
So you guys, let me ask you a question before High Point sends a representative to each one of our house and
I'm gonna
post it real proud on social media too. Watch.
Hey,
they got High Point is gonna send representatives to each of our homes. So look, I want to switch the subject right quick. So there was an article I sent you guys a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the federal court saying that the restriction on handgun sales to people under 21 are unconstitutional.
That's so crazy.
They're saying
that
when they turn 18, they have the right constitutionally to bear arms. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I was 18. I was bearing arms for the United States Army. And the arms I was bearing at the time were 50 caliber machine guns and M60 machine guns, and I was a tank commander on an M48 tank with a 90 millimeter cannon. So, I mean, at some point, you got to say 18-year-olds they consider you to trust you with that sort of firepower. Now, I know you're under supervision, but still, the principle's kind of the same. And I guarantee you, an 18-year-old can do a lot more damage to the United States with his vote than he can with the firearm. So you're going to let them vote.
Come on,
sir.
Say it one more time. Say it one more time, Sarge, please. Say it one more time.
A 18-year-old can do a lot more damage in the United States of America with their vote than they can with a firearm. So if you can let them vote,
I agree.
Let them have a firearm.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. The way I see it, you're telling me at 18, I'm considered an adult because I can go get married without any kind of signature from a parent. I can join the military. I can buy a house. I can have kids, but I can't have a firearm to protect that family I just built until I turn 21 3 years later. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. It's
crazy
ridiculous.
To me. There's a lot of there's a few mature 18-year-olds out there, you know. There's a few of them. Not a whole lot, but there's a few of them, you know.
But the funny thing is my neighbor is in the Air Force. My neighbor is 20. He's in the Air Force, and he cannot legally go purchase a firearm because he's not 21 yet.
Do you realize that a lot of the militia in the Revolutionary War were anywhere between 14 and 16 years old?
Mm-hmm.
The militia, the congressional militia units who fought in the Revolution, and a lot of them were at Lexington and Concord, by the way, and were members of militia units. A lot of them showed up there bearing their arms, fighting it out with the Redcoats in a running gun battle all the way from Lexington back to Boston, and they were 16 years old, 17 years old.
Oh, yeah, see, but that's the kind of stuff they don't want to talk about, though.
I know.
They don't want to They don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, I know. They want you to forget history. Yeah. See, that's why it's so important for them to start from the year zero. Everything's year zero now. They're like them guys took over Cambodia. They're going to start year zero. Nothing else happened before this. We're going to start with a new man at year zero. That's what these people sound like to me.
Yeah, that's
they don't want you to know
anything
but what they want you to know, and what only thing that matters is what they're saying right now. All the rest of it,
right now, that's it.
That doesn't count.
Yeah,
it's a racist country anyway.
They
forget it. We're going to start new. Yeah.
All historical facts. They want to because it's not benefiting them or is not, you know what I'm saying, allowing our American culture per se to move in the direction that they want. Yeah, they want you to forget it. They want to take stuff out of school, stuff that they were barely teaching anyway. They want to make sure that it's not in school now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're all kind of foolishness. So, yeah, I totally agree. You know what I mean? That we're at ground zero almost. Like, okay, no, starting today, we are going to teach everything that we want y'all to know. You know what I mean? That's it. We're refusing to teach anything that's going to possibly cause people to hate each other. Well, I mean, but you're still teaching about American history, period. So why not teach American history? Teach it all. You know what I'm saying?
They teach American history, but a wildly distorted one. Now they got the 1619 Project, among the worst bit of historical writing from a standpoint of accuracy, perspective, and context I've ever seen. And they gave it a Nobel Prize, an utter disgrace. Shows you the Nobel Prize is meaningless now to give it to that particular, I mean, just horrid, shoddy historical scholarship, if I can call it that. Then they got the critical race theory. More distortions on American law, its traditions from English common law, and everything else. It's just completely distorted. Everything about it is. So, yes, they're doing this in order to fundamentally transform our system of governance, our very republic. They want to transform a constitutional republic into a, quote, democracy, unquote. Remember, a democracy has no rights for the minority that are guaranteed. It's whatever the wolves vote for with regard to the sheep and what they have for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
And, but you know, thinking about it, it really doesn't. I don't really see where. I try to look it up and see where this age of 21 came in at, because you know, 18-year-olds can buy rifles, right? They can buy rifles and shotguns. They just can't buy. They can buy AR-15s, right? But they cannot buy a handgun. So tell me the difference. I'm really not understanding. Huh?
I guess the rationale is that you know, handguns are concealable, readily concealable, that is, and they're thinking that a juvenile is more likely to be in a gang, and being in a gang, you're going to have a concealable weapon where you can readily use it in a drive-by. Who knows what sort of idiotic rationale they got in their minds? I don't know, but I'm imagining.
But they do it anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's amazing to me how these politicians actually think someone intent on committing murder or mayhem is going to be deterred by an administrative law. It's amazing to me.
Right.
Yeah. But you know,
if they think it's going to matter,
you're going to stop. Like that's what they're thinking everybody's going to do. They see that law, or they probably read it, and they're going to say, you know what, change my mind. Let me not go ahead and continue with my bad intentions because the law told me I can't.
Right.
Yeah, I think the law tells you can't murder or assault someone with a firearm. The law tells you that, too. In fact, it has even more severe penalties for that. But, you know, like I said, logic and rational thinking, linear reasoning does not occur to many of these, particularly gun-grabbing leftist politicians, ever.
Yeah.
It's all virtue signaling.
Right.
Hey, Kia, you just said, you know, 18-year-old can probably buy an AR. What's so crazy that here in Virginia, they can buy an AR, but you have to be 21, and I think the gun stores, unless the gun stores is doing this for this particular group of kids, let me not call them kids, I'm calling them young adults, you have to be 21 to purchase a lower. How crazy
now,
is that?
Are you allowed to transfer a AR-15 to a person over the age of 18 but under the age of 21?
No. But yeah. I believe AR, any rifle platform, as long as it's not considered a pistol, you could.
Yes, you can.
But when it comes down to handguns,
so you can lawfully transfer your father, and you want to lawfully transfer your legally owned AR-15 to your son or anyone else who's under that age, you can do it in that state?
Yep.
Yes.
In the state of Virginia, you could because it's considered a rifle. But for some reason, if you go to buy a lower,
you can't go to a gun store and buy
one.
But you can't go to a gun store and buy it from an FFL dealer. Is that what you're saying?
No, you could. AR, you can, not a lower.
The AR-15 is considered lower.
Nah,
exactly. See how confusing
like
this is so far?
I mean, that is
the
right. That's the serial number part.
I know.
The upper receiver
is
merely
right?
a replacement part.
I know, but that's exactly what the point I'm trying to make. I can go into the store between the age of 18 to 20 and buy that AR-15 in rifle configuration between the ages of 18 to 20. But if I go in and I say I want to buy the AR pistol, of course it's classified as a pistol, of course I can't. And if I wanted to buy that lower, I can't unless I'm 21. And that's the crazy part because the lower is the AR-15, but if I buy it completed, it's not a problem. But as soon as I buy that lower,
how about this?
21.
What if you were to buy simply a stripped lower receiver? Nothing in it, no stock, no nothing on it. You're sold as a receiver. Is that considered an other firearm in that state, or would it be automatically rival? Because my understanding is that that's considered other than a pistol or a rifle. It's like an other in classification.
Yes.
Gotta be 21.
Yep, you gotta be 21. I don't know what the classification is. I think it might be other, but you gotta be 21.
Nah, it's
so
considered
even for
other because
receiver
I have to
with
do
nothing
it.
In it but just a strip, a frame, you know, no parts.
Yeah, it's considered
receiver
other.
Receiver number and the various
I use it all the time for I use them for the bills that I that the clients you know what I'm saying. Now when you go and you go to, you know what I'm saying, like I've had to transfer it to some people, they ask for the classification then. You feel what I'm saying? Like, what do you classify this as? An SBR or a pistol? Or, you know what I'm saying, because because the barrel is shorter than 16 inches, they do ask. But once you, when you purchase it as a complete, a strip lower, it's really classified as the other because it can either become a rifle or a pistol.
That is why every one of my AR-15s began life as a strip lower receiver. That's the reason I did it. I'm just saying that's the reason I did it. Every single one of them began its life as a completely strip lower receiver, and I just built it in what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what we do over here at 610.
So to answer the original question, is the restriction on 18 to 20-year-olds unconstitutional?
I think so. Yeah. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's an infringement. Adults are considered, 18-year-olds are considered adults for purposes of letting a contract, aren't they?
Court.
I mean,
they
contract
with
the United States Armed Forces. They sign a contract with the United States Armed Forces. It's recognized. In most places, they're allowed to contract to purchase, well, many things, even houses in some places.
Right. Yeah, they can.
So I would think that anything an 18-year-old is allowed to do as an adult, like you said, get married, leave the home, become independent. I would think that keeping and bearing arms would be an infringement on their constitutional right.
Yep. I agree with that.
Yep, I agree as well.
Yep,
I agree. Not saying that, you know, hey, I want to just hand, you know, handguns and pistols to 18-year-olds. I'm not saying it like that because I'm sure someone that may be listening may say, well, why would you want 18-year-olds to have a gun? It's not that you want them to have a gun, but the point of the matter is they have the right. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's not stopping anyone from doing anything by not making it legal.
I'm a senior citizen, and I'm not allowed to own cocaine or heroin, but if I wanted to, there isn't a law that would prevent me from getting it and finding it if I wanted to get it. It's the same thing with guns for 18-year-olds. I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand this kind of thinking. They're 18. They can't get it. The law says they can't get it. Since when? I mean, they get all kinds of drugs that have to be replaced. Remember, a firearm can literally be kept in working order for hundreds of years. It's not expendable.
Yeah.
You can have the ammunition stored properly, the firearm stored properly. It will literally be operable for hundreds of years. You got to constantly renew cocaine because you're blowing up your nose or you're shooting in your veins or Oxycontin or whatever. You got to continually renew it because you expend it.
Right.
But people keep getting it.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you know what, remember last week too when we had our guest, Kat, he said something that he always say. We don't hesitate to put our 16-year-old on the street in a brand new car or in a used car in a very uncontrollable situation, right? We can't control any part of anything when they drive from in front of the house, right? And they're on the highway next to a big 16-wheeler truck. But we don't ever question that, but we always question kids or teenagers and guns. And now we're questioning an 18-year-old. What's the difference between okay, maybe not the 18-year-old, but what, the 20-year-old? So you're telling me 20 to 21, there's such a big gap in maturity between 20 and 21 that I don't understand that. You know, 18 to 21, what's the difference? There's irresponsible adults.
I'm really going to give you the most glaring example I can possibly give you of how much attitudes have changed toward firearms and juveniles or adolescents. And this is really glaring when you think about it. I went to Chicago Vocational High School in Chicago. Yeah, I went to Chicago. I went to high school. Now, the situation I'm about to relate was identical or similar in almost every major public high school in Chicago, including on the worst ghettos in Chicago with the most juvenile crime. My high school had an armory in the basement. It consisted of 50 M1 rifles. It consisted of two Browning automatic rifles, four M1 carbines, and four M1911-45 pistols, and one M3 submachine gun. They were right there in the high school. The ROTC units would regularly go down there and practice drill, practice disassembly. Once a year, they'd take us to the range, and we'd shoot them. Now, we always lock them back up in the arms rack, but they were in the high school. This is Chicago. Now, let me say that again. 50 M1 rifles, two Browning automatic rifles, four M1 carbines, four .45 caliber M1911A1 pistols, and one M3A1 submachine gun. Right there in high school. Now, can you imagine that today in Chicago?
Right.
And we had a science fair. And I remember at the science fair, they said, okay, I'm going to go there and explain how semi-automatic M1 rifle works. And they did give you in basic training, you know, the eight steps of operation there. We had the GI charts show the various phases of operation of the M1 rifle. And I had a M1 rifle with a couple of dummy clips with dummy ammo with the holes drilled in the cartridge cases. And I'd demonstrate loading the rifle, and I'd work the operating rod, and rounds come flying out, last round the clip come flying. I explained how the rifle worked. And then we took it to the fair, and here I am explaining scientifically how a semi-automatic military rifle works. Nobody batted an eye. Nobody thought it was a bad thing. Because I'm there in ROTC uniform. My ROTC instructor's nearby. And people are coming to ask me questions.
Yeah.
Can you imagine this today? No.
No,
we
never.
We would absolutely start to behave in a responsible fashion with these firearms. They wouldn't tolerate any horseplay. They wouldn't tolerate acting a fool. You get kicked out if you acted that way. You literally got kicked out. And first of all, you got dropped about 100 push-ups, and then you kicked you out of the program. Mm-hmm. We were taught responsibility.
So, Sarge, hold on. I have one more thing I want to, in this last 20 minutes, because this is probably going to be a continuation. So this is our segment of What Did Our President Say? Y'all ready?
Oh.
Okay. on July 21st, on CNN, I'm doing a presidential town hall. Our dear president expressed his support for a ban on commonly owned handguns. He said, and I quote, "I'm the only guy that ever got passed legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminate assault weapons. The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. I'm continuing to push to eliminate the sale of those things." So he is now added to his ban of assault weapons, 9mm.
Yep.
Have at it, y'all.
Yeah. I reposted that. I don't know if you saw that, but I reposted that. Yeah.
I brought that up a couple times, too.
Wake up. I was like, yo, are you serious?
It's like I tell people, hey,
so now 9mm are now considered assault rifles. Nine millimeters are now considered assault weapons now.
Yeah, but what he did,
I can tell
you,
first they come for the
agenda. Yes, he just openly approved the agenda. Approved the true agenda is to get rid of firearms in the hands of civilians. Period. That was what he that's what he just he openly said something that he that only those of us really paying attention probably caught. But he openly made the statement that I don't want any of y'all to have guns, period, of any type. You can't have them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he said, why should we allow people to have military-style weapons, including pistols with 9mm bullets that can hold 10 rounds or more?
Yeah.
Think about it for a minute, folks. But what has been in the news lately? People are questioning the need to ban so-called assault weapons when they correctly point out they account for a minuscule number of the firearm homicides committed with firearms every year, when in fact the overwhelming majority of crime committed with firearms is, in fact, handguns. Now, that is the only logical thing these people have admitted to now. Now, if you're going to ban a gun based upon the amount of crime that is committed with it, then logically, if you believe it works, you should start with handguns. So, you see, I think even old senile, demented old goat Joe Biden finally managed to add a bit of logic to his gun-grabbing tyranny.
Yeah. 100%.
We're going to have to start bleeping out, Sarge.
Let him free.
Look, I got to confess to y'all. Before I became a police officer, I used to be a big guy. I thought gun grabbing was the way to go. It made sense to me.
Yeah.
I was as stupid as hell. I'm about as stupid as these people were. It wasn't until I became a police officer and began to see everything they had told me in the gun grab business was an utter total lie, a lie by omission or by distortion. Everything.
Wow.
It started changing my thinking about everything.
Yeah. That's crazy. Mm. That's crazy. But it's the truth.
Even though I was a silly gun grabber, I am capable of logic and reason, and I began to reason this through. I'm saying every one of these people I'm arresting with a firearm is already prohibited by law from even possessing it, and they're out of committing crime with it. Say none of the fact they're already felons simply for being in possession, but it doesn't seem to be deterring them any.
Right.
Almost right away, within a year of working on the job.
Nope. But
so
again,
I hope
like
that
I
everybody
said,
is. If you,
before,
go ahead, Elliot.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, if people that are not able to defend themselves by any means, right? It, you know, what I'm saying, it's either subject to slavery or death, and you know, that's the bottom line. We don't want you to be able to defend yourself against us. We don't care, you know what I'm saying, that y'all are you know, the crimes. We don't care about the statistics. That's all he's saying. I don't care about what the statistics are showing. I just don't want y'all to be able to defend yourself against me if I decide to come up against you. You know what I'm saying? And that's the big problem.
Well, I'll tell you, the only firearm I ever took off in an otherwise law-abiding citizen was in connection with an arrest on a warrant that didn't have anything to do with a violent crime, and he had the firearm in the trunk of his car properly stored under Illinois law, unloaded, and in a locked case in his trunk. And that was the only time I ever took a firearm away from a person who was otherwise lawfully allowed to possess it. The only time. Every other firearm I took off any criminal was from someone who, for whatever reason, was prohibited from owning it in the first place. Just for 26 years.
I just hope that everybody is paying attention. We have how many more years of this, y'all? I hope everybody, if you even care about the right to defend yourself and your Second Amendment right, you know, there's a lot of, now they're putting the Second Amendment under this microscope, saying, oh, it's not ideal for this time, for this century, and all this stuff. But if anybody has, you know, any, just a little bit of concern about being able to take care of your family, which the numbers speak for themselves, right? How many did we say? 19 million people so far as of May of this year. So the people are speaking. They feel the need to defend themselves and have, you know, and want to exercise their Second Amendment rights. So I'm hoping that people are paying attention, though, and don't get caught up in the hype of the gun buyback programs, the fight against, okay, we remember the war on drugs, right? So this is not gonna do anything. This is gonna make matters worse. So I hope that people are not getting caught up in the fine print and you know, of things, and that they are paying attention to these laws that are coming in front of us. They make them look really pretty, dress them up really pretty, and then but you don't read the fine print and the fine bullets. So I hope that the people are paying attention, and that's why we need to continue to do what we do and bring these laws to the surface, because we have what, 3 more years of this.
Well, I'm going to tell you another lie the hair-sniffing freak told us when he got up there in front of a press conference in front of the American people. He said that when the country was founded, that you couldn't own any kind of firearm you wanted. You were prohibited. You couldn't own a cannon, for instance. And that is a direct damnable lie because Congress has the authority to issue letters of mark and reprisal. Now, when they issue a letter of mark and reprisal, that is to a private contractor, a civilian. Usually it was someone who operated on the high seas. They would give you a letter of mark and reprisal to conduct piracy operations sanctioned by the state so you couldn't be considered a pirate, and you would use your cannon to seize enemy man of war and enemy merchant vessels. Listen to what I just said. You would have your cannon mounted on your own ship by which you would seize enemy shipping.
Right.
Letters of mark and reprisal issued by the Congress of the United States, and these private citizens would take their cannon. We're talking about the time of the American Revolution and later, the War of 1812. Jean Marquis was a privateer. He worked with Andrew Jackson in the War of 1812 in the Battle of New Orleans. He was a privateer. He had cannon. He was a civilian with cannon. After the Civil War, the United States government sold off surplus cannon, advertised the sale in the paper to any and all who wanted to come to the auction to buy cannon.
Wow.
I mean, I got a copy of the newspaper auction advertisement.
Wow.
Cannon. Then we got this lying, senile old goat just flat out telling lies that at first you couldn't own anything. Yes, you could. Just about any kind of weapon conceivable for a militia purpose, you are allowed to own.
Well, I think that's the word right there, militia purpose. They're deadly afraid of that happening because I think the American people are fed up of the government, you know, running its own agenda, but yet American people still end up voting in their favor. So because they're too easily convinced. For me, what Kia said earlier about paying attention, I would add to not just the folks that are into firearms, you know, but just everyday Americans, pay attention, because it's going to start with the firearms. I'll start with the guns, and then guess what? It's going to come to y'all for whatever y'all want, you know? So pay attention. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention.
But y'all saw that. That's my little video that I posted on my page, right, about the young lady speaking about how it all started in Cuba with them taking their firearms, that they were forced by law to register their firearms, and then he ended up then passing another law where they were doing a mass confiscation of firearms and ammunition. And she was saying, like, what's going on here is the beginning of, is just a reminder of what happened to them in Cuba. Y'all seen that video I posted?
No.
I have to go back and look.
Yeah, if you posted it today, I haven't watched it. I'm going to watch it today. But that's crazy
Yeah, I could tag y'all in it. Yeah, the young lady was explaining that. She was like, yo, this is how it started. She's like, this is how it started. We all had guns and we're allowed to have guns like you all are allowed, you know what I mean? But then he was like, oh, register them. I need you to register them. She said that everyone complied, you know, and those that didn't were dealt with, right? But everyone complied. and they did a mass confiscation. She said she called it a repo. I think she called it a repo, the word she used. They came and took ammunition of everyone that they, that was on this registry, the ammunition and the firearms, took them all.
Hmm.
Well, let us not forget, let's remind both our fellow citizens and our legislators that the Congress of the United States passed, I think it was five or six years ago, they passed a law that prohibits local authorities from confiscating firearms in the case of an emergency, like what happened at Katrina when the police chief of New Orleans went house to house seizing firearms from law-abiding citizens. Congress said,
right,
you can't do this again. So I like to remind everybody out there, if they ever try to justify it on the face of an emergency, unless they've declared martial law and suspended the Constitution, then they don't have a right to go door to door to take your firearm. No one does. No level of government, as if we had to say it in the first place, but they passed a specific law after the, what they did in Katrina.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Those are the things. So, you know, that goes back to what you were saying, E. History, right? Hide all that stuff. Because if we know that, we don't vote for that, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, we got a lot of work to do. We got the most anti-gun president. I thought you couldn't get any worse than Obama. But this Biden, man, he is just such a relentless old goof of a fool. And I don't even think he really knows what he's doing. I mean, he's bad enough if he was sane and has a normal mind.
Right.
But he's literally just a marionette. And he's got a lot of things addled up in his head anyway. And he's probably the last person he's spoken to has sway with him. And he'll say anything or do anything. He's the most anti-gun president we've ever had in the history of the United States. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
I often wonder who's pulling his strings, because I just don't think sometimes it's all him. So that's just my opinion. I think somebody's behind the scenes.
He can't think.
Yeah. Nah. He got financial backing. You know what I'm saying? And he knew what he was doing, bringing old girl on team with him. You know what I mean? Because of what she did in California.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knew what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? Now trying to appoint that idiot as the director of the ATF. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of fool is this, man?
Yeah,
who's now banning the kids on college campuses from owning firearms. Yeah, you mean him?
He's ridiculous, man. But Sarge and I talked about this when I was on vacation. We, you know, and he mentioned this, and it still rings in my ear, that someone like him, who's prior military, man, like how could you ever think that what you're doing is okay? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, our people, like the military, so there are military people that are following behind, like they believe this, like, yeah, he's right with what he's talking about. Are you serious? That goes against everything we stand for when we took the code, you know what I'm saying, to defend our country. That goes against everything we stand for.
Yep, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, not some bureaucrat or some temporarily elected public official. The Constitution is what everyone's supposed to be in fealty to, first and foremost. And nothing in either the officer's oath of commission or an enlisted person's oath of enlistment. Nothing says anything about obeying a leader. Well, at least officers don't. And even enlisted personnel, the first thing is protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and then to obey the orders of those appointed over me. That part isn't in the officer's oath. It's just to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States without hint of mental reservation.
Right.
Mm.
And there's a reason they put it that way. Especially what they expect officers to expect to exercise greater discernment with respect to that.
Yes.
That's the reason for officers.
Right.
And Chipman, well, I believe he was a commissioned officer or a reserve officer. Anyway, he was an officer, I think, in the armed forces. And he ought to know better, but he doesn't, because he's essentially a tyrant at heart. and tyrants are always lawless.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
I'm just really, you know, for me, firearm instructor aside, I'm talking from a concerned citizen here. It's like, you know, it's like, how do you get the message out to people so they understand exactly what's going on, plain and simple, without the media interfering, without hearing lies, you know, because you understand, you got to deprogram people now. They've been programmed to believe that guns are bad, right? So now you got to deprogram. That's a lot of work. You got to deprogram people and then feed them not the the correct knowledge, you know?
We have a so-called black scholarly intellectual now that is actually making, I forget her name, but it'll come to me in a minute. She's actually making the argument that the Second Amendment was created in order to preserve slavery. Now, note, not that it could be used to that effect. You know, like an automobile which is created to transport you from one place to another, you can also use it for drive-by shootings and as a getaway car. You can. You can do both with it.
Yeah.
With the Second Amendment, you can use it to round up runaway slaves, and you can use it as part of the well-regulated militia that is necessary to secure a free state or to defend your home and your family. You can do both things with a firearm.
Right.
But this woman is actually making an argument that the Second Amendment came into being to catch slaves and send them back to plantations.
Oh,
that's the reason for the Second Amendment. And a lot of people So with a lot of people, this argument has a certain cachet. What you got to answer your question, what we've got to understand is, given the relentless propaganda against us by every mainstream media outlet there is, to include Hollywood and the popular culture, we are having to face an uphill battle. So what we have to do is be prepared to focus our arguments to counter every one of the lies they tell. And they are legion.
Yeah. No, you're so right, Sarge. And you know what's the worst of all is the fact that you just said Hollywood, and I was thinking social media, right? Because when Kia asked, like, where do we kind of start? And the news outlet, they're already programmed, right? They already programmed everything guns is bad because it's a damn good story. What's so crazy is in the last couple three, 4 weeks I've been messing with social media for my instructor videos. Do you all know that I put a video up on Facebook and I ran it as a paid ad just to see how that works out, right? And it got banned. They said no.
Come on, see.
And now when I researched it said that I'm trying to sell guns, right? Then I rebutted against it and I did it again and they said no. This video is teaching people how to just, like, load and unload guns the safe way. But now my entire Facebook account is still active, but I can't run ads. But I'm a firearms instructor.
Yeah.
Same thing on Instagram, same thing on TikTok, same thing on and all the other platforms. And I'm not the only one. I'm pretty sure both of you are running through the same thing. And I have another instructor that I know the same thing's happening to him, that he even made a post about it. And it's kind of crazy because here we are trying to spread the message of safety around utilizing firearms. We're not telling people buy more firearms. We're telling them, for those of you that have firearms, here's how to be safe and responsible. For those of you that are curious, do it in the right form. For those of you that don't have firearms, go get training. Don't be ignorant to them because that's what leads to death. We're trying to spread the positive message, but they're banning them. But every turn we make, we're seeing, for one video banned, we're seeing 100 videos with negligent discharges. We're seeing that video with the girl shaking her butt while she's shaking her gun, while she's shooting the gun, right? And those don't get banned. So
absolutely.
It's a horrible fight.
It helps with their narrative.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why would they change that? Why would they ban it? It helps them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, even though TikTok, Instagram, all of these things are becoming, you know, those platforms are becoming very, very big, none of them will be as big as Facebook. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Facebook is a huge platform. I posted a picture of a gun that I refurbished, and they banned it. And I was like, what the?
That's crazy.
So that's kind of been my thing. Like, I don't really deal with Facebook. I don't know how many times I tell you that. Like, I'm not really on Facebook. Because I understand what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, your whole objective is not, you want us on there and you want us to pay for ads and, make, you know, keep making money for, you know what I'm saying, for Facebook, but it has to be the way you want it. You're like, that's ridiculous. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, but it's deeper than just the Facebook. I was just talking about just the whole fact that it's the agenda that they're pushing, you know, even outside of paying for the ads, because one of the videos that I posted, there was no guns in the video. It was one of my tactical tip of the day, y'all, shameless plug. But it was one of those videos, and it got banned. And then not banned to the public, but it got banned for me to boost. That's what it's called, boosting it. So you can get more views. So it's only being viewed by my already my friends, right? But for me to push in the sense of business,
it goes against the
net. Like, no. Yeah, exactly. But I bet you if I put one up, have you guys seen that video?
Yeah.
I can put one up of someone of me shooting someone right now, and all I gotta do is put it. It's not safe for under 18, and it has graphic content. And guess what? It's gonna be all over Facebook. But I bet you in the headline it's gonna be, this is why we can't have guns, because of this. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
it's
you're right.
But if you look from the perspective of the controller, right, the first person that wants to be in control, it's not crazy. You get what I'm saying? This is how this is strategy. It's you know, when we talked about that last week with Kat, it's strategy, right? This is how they're being tactical. Like, okay, this is what we're gonna do. Yeah, we're gonna let you keep posting up the videos of somebody getting accidentally shot in the head, or we're going to let you keep posting up the videos of somebody, you know, negligent discharges. We're going to let you do all that stuff, because that stuff to the ignorant will seem scary, and it will continue to help our narrative. You see what I'm saying? But that tactical tip of the day, we're not letting him boost that. We're not letting him teach anybody how to be responsible. Like, no, because we want to get rid of guns. We don't want the citizens to be armed. No, so we don't want you to teach them how. This is why I think that, and I'm going to say something that you both probably think is going to be crazy, but this is how I truly feel. The fact that these states are pushing to go to constitutional carry states, that concerns me as a firearm instructor. Like, yo, like what?
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure. Already, yeah.
Yeah, if they
so you guys, hold on 1 second, because we have a caller, and we got 2 minutes. Let's see if this caller has something to say about something that we've said so far. Hold on 1 second, you guys.
Okay.
Hold on. Hi, caller. You're on with Point Blank. Maybe it was somebody just wanting to listen. Hello? Okay, so
see, conspiracy, guys. It wanted to stop E from talking. It's a conspiracy. I'm over this.
Yeah, because they know Zach Tactical on here. They say, yeah, let's watch, let's listen. Let's listen. they watch it Dwayne's page right now. You're like, oh, they all are. Let's check them out.
Well, caller, if you're listening in, we tried to pick you up, and it was a 919 number, so. But on our last minute and a half, I just want to thank everybody for listening in. Sarge, we're so glad to have you back. We were concerned. I was leaving you messages on your phone, you know, so we thank you for coming back and being safe and all that stuff. And we thank you for your contribution to the show, because you really add a lot of value. And to, you know, Dwayne and Elliot, you know, we got to keep pushing this and letting people know the real things that are going on instead of, you know, this fake stuff. We're a small crew, but you know, we can still do our part. So.
Well, you do the you're doing the Lord's work, as far as I'm concerned, and I shall do my best not to neglect my duty anymore.
I don't buy,
folks. Let me see, we got a minute left. I don't buy that Sarge was in Texas, y'all. I think Sarge was doing some covert stuff out and about. I don't believe that he's talking about it. Just so y'all know, I didn't buy it.
That's why.
You might be able to say that, but I was really helping out a good friend, a good colleague, and a great friend. and I just owed it to him. And it's a mess down there. I swear, y'all ought to do a show on that alone. Talk about the people having the need to keep and bear arms. The situation the United States government is creating is mandating it.
Yeah. Wow, wow.
Yeah, we'll do a show on the borders. We'll do that. We'll talk about the borders next week, Star. So come back and meet us here. You know, same time, same place. Good night, y'all.
Same time, same place, everybody. Have a good night.
All right now.